It's time for our monthly update from Encourage, and their office is located at 478 East Grand Avenue, right across from Hotel Mead, a beautiful office building there. And today, Corey Amphinson is here from Encourage, and Darla Allen, the director of the Charles and Joanna Lester Library in Nakusa. And so, good morning, and they brought along the kids here to observe and learn about the insanity of radio. And so with that, we say good morning and Happy New Year, everybody.
Good morning, Carl.
Okay, so I guess we're going to begin by talking about scholarships.
Yeah, we just wanted to briefly remind everyone out there listening this morning.
We talked about last time.
Yeah, that scholarships are open right now. So you can go to the Encourage website, and it's an easy online process. And the scholarship application will be open until February 15th. So we got a little bit of time yet here, but we want students to get out there and get working on their applications, because you don't have to do it all in one sitting. That's the beauty of it being online. You can save your progress and go back to it after, you know.
I like that, because
yeah.
Sometimes you work on something and you get blurry eyed and you can get frustrated. Mm-hmm. This way you just save it, walk away and go back to it later on.
Exactly. And the online opportunity is wonderful, because it allows the kids to do just that. And that, when I say kids, I mean that very loosely, because it's offered for traditional high school students, but it's also for, you know, current college students, so continuing college students.
Okay.
And that could be somebody who's 19, or it could be somebody who's not, and, you know, those non-traditional students as well.
I was going to say, a lot of non-traditional students are going back to school because they're in industries that have changed, and they need to change their skill set.
Absolutely.
So they need to get a different set of skills, or a new, or they're trying getting trained for a new profession,
yeah.
And the like. And I know, like, Mid-State Technical College has a lot of non-traditional students.
Absolutely, they do. And we want to remind folks that, you know, the process that we do our scholarship, especially through this new online, and we're seeing good results using the online programming, is that, you know, 72% of the folks who applied for scholarships last year received one. And it doesn't mean you have to be the top of your class and involved in every opportunity made available to you. It just means that you have to take the time to fill out the application. And we're happy to share also, you know, that there was 559 graduates in Southwood County last year, and that means that 22% of those received an Encouraged scholarship. That's fabulous.
That's awesome, and I think that's important to remember, folks, because in the world, in the technological world that we live in, you need more than a high school diploma.
Absolutely.
You have to get educated in a particular skill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need help to do so, here's a good way to get help.
Yeah, and these scholarships are for everyone. We want to make sure that the process is equitable and that everyone feels welcome to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, they have just as much opportunity as the person sitting next to them in class today.
And the stat that you just read there shows that's exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. And the diversity of the recipients is wonderful. So our community is made up of about 14% diversity, right?
Mm, right.
And so we were happy to see that 2018 recipients of Encouraged scholarships were minority students. We had 10%. So we're kind of close to what the community representation is, 10% versus 14. So it was a good thing to see that.
Okay, so that's the scholarships, and remember,
yep,
that's through the deadline again.
February 15th, and you apply online at encouragecf.org.
Okay, so it's the day after Valentine's,
yes,
is the deadline, so that's a good way to remember it. Okay, another thing that Encourage has been doing a lot of great work with, and the people who help support those grants, What If Grants. I just like the title, What If, someone with a dream.
Exactly. So our What If grants are small grants that are open to anyone in the community who has a good idea. So imagine you have a wonderful idea about doing something in your neighborhood, and you're like, you know, I don't know how to get this started, or I need a little bit of money, or I need some resources. I need someone's time to help me look this over or think about it differently. Those are exactly what If grants are. And so today I brought with me my friend Darla, who is a recipient of a What If grant, and I would love for her to just talk about how the process was for her and actually what the grant that they received did for them.
Okay, Darla, talk about what your grant involved.
Okay, well, I worked with Bob Shear, who works at the King Veterans Home.
Okay.
And he approached me because he had an idea about creating a veterans memorial wall. Because there are a number of veterans who pass away, and when they pass, there are no family members to take the flag, or the families are not interested in having the flag.
Oh, my.
And so he was left with some flags. He goes, we don't know what to do with them.
Okay.
And to get the flag is an honor.
Yes, it is.
These are veterans who sacrificed years of their life, and when they pass, it is a ceremony. The family is presented with a flag, or if they don't have any family, there's no one to take the flag. So he had thought, what should we do with these? And so he approached me, and we had some room in the library in our Thompson meeting room. And as you know, Dr. John Thompson was a World War II veteran. He was a prisoner of war. I said, I think that would be a great place for a veterans memorial, flag memorial wall. And so we worked together. He did a lot of the paperwork. I helped him with some parts of it. It's a very easy application process. He applied through the Community Foundation, Encourage, and they funded it. So we now have some shelving. We have, I believe, four flags right now. We have, I believe, two or three more coming. People are able to come in. We try to get pictures of the veterans, any of their service pins, any biographical materials, and then we put them in a binder so people that come in can read about the veterans.
Oh, that's great.
Flags, the veterans of the veterans' biographies of the flags that we have.
So with each of those flags, there's a biography.
Yep.
And someone can come into that room at the library and read about that American hero.
Yes, and it's not just a flag. There's a person behind the flag.
Yeah, and you're very right about that. My father was a chief petty officer in the U.S. Navy, USS Helford, and I know when we had his service over, when he was entombed at the mausoleum, Forest Hill Mausoleum, as the eldest son, I got presented the flag. That's an emotional and a very special time. And I think it's great that what you are doing for those that didn't have that there was nobody there.
Right. There's another veterans-related resource that we have at the library is Diantha Neinfeld, who was instrumental in the Wood County Veterans Memorial at the Wood County Courthouse.
Which is a beautiful memorial.
It is. She researched every single Wood County veteran from the Civil War to current day. Any Wood County veteran that died while in the service, she researched and printed off their, if there is an obituary or any newspaper article about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a copy of that, from Civil War to current.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. It was a labor of love. So Diantha did all of that work, and she is an amazing lady. And we have copies of that at the library. And the other thing I learned at a veteran's funeral I attended just on Monday, which was for Art Wittenberg, who was a World War II veteran, is when they do the 21-gun salute at the funeral, do you know what that stands for?
I used to. No.
1776, the year we became a free country.
Okay. Independent.
1776 adds up to 21. That's what it symbolizes.
Okay. And people will go, why do they call it? There's only three volleys. Well, it's seven seven guns firing three times. That's why it's so loud.
Yeah. But I did not realize that. That was
But, and it's nice. And what I love about your project, it's honoring our veterans, but it's also teaching some very important history.
Yes.
A history that needs stories that need to be told and learned, and traditions that should be honored.
Well, and I like that it personalizes it.
That's
it's
it.
Easy to, you know, you can look at the flag and okay, this is nice, but when you can put a name and a face with it, it makes it real.
I want to take a quick break, and I want to come back and talk to you about the process you went through.
Okay.
And because you obviously had a great game plan. You knew what you wanted. But let's talk about the process. So someone out there right now might have some great idea, and they're going, man, that's maybe that could work for me. And let's show them that It's not as hard as they might think. And we're getting our update from Encourage. Corey Anfinson from Encourage is here, and Darla Allen, director of the Charles and Joanna Lester Library in Nakusa, is here. We've been talking about scholarships and what-if grants, and we're going to talk a bit more about the application process with a what-if grant. So who's eligible for a what-if grant and the process for that?
So what-if grants were put together so that we would love for the end result to be about people you know, moving those what-if ideas to action, whether it's just using talents, resources, or relationships. But the main premises of a what-if grant is to connect people to build relationships. And so we want to see our community strengthened by what-if grants. So how do these ideas come together and promote people coming together, learning opportunities, much like the one the Veterans Wall over in Nakusa, but growing and building around relationships. So who can apply? Anyone who has a really good idea and they're working with somebody else. So they could be working with just another resident in their community, or it could be they're working with a program to try to bring something in. But what-if grants are really designed for just exactly what they're called, what if. It's not something that has to be prescribed or canned, and you don't have to have all the answers when you come in to apply. It's that pie in the sky, what if, right?
Yeah.
And so we want to encourage people to think about new and creative ways to build things into their community. And so those people who really believe strongly that working together and being connected to each other and to the place we share is important, those are the folks that we would like to see coming in and applying for a what-if grant.
Okay, yeah. Think big. Think big.
Yeah.
What if we did this?
Yeah.
Okay, like you said, it doesn't have to be a fully fledged out thing, because the what-if grant might fund the process that develops the full-fledged idea.
Exactly. And what if grants are up to $2,500?
Okay.
And so that would be, that money could be used to not only just to buy materials for whatever it is you're looking for, or it could pay for marketing things, or it could be getting resources from us connected to other people with similar interests or ideas even. So it doesn't always have to be about dollars that can make your project happen. It may be something as simple as connecting you to other folks who have a passion for the same thing that you do. I would say that it's available to anyone who lives in the Southwood County area, so encourage service area to come in and fill out that application online.
So, Darla, what was that process like for you?
Well, I Bob did a lot of the work on the grant. I've worked with Encourage on the community progress initiatives when we brought Mike Perry into the Nakusa area. And both grants have always been very easy to work on. They're straightforward. I mean, you fill in blanks. They are easy.
Okay.
I mean, I've worked on other grants for the library that are very complicated, and there's a lot of follow-up, and it takes you hours and hours. And the community progress and the what-if grants are maybe an hour of work total.
Okay.
It's very straightforward, very easy, and they are willing to answer any questions and help you along the process. So if you have an idea, they're going to really help you to make it a reality.
The unique thing about the grant process at Encourage is that we aren't looking for you to come in, like I said, with all the answers up front. Every time you fill out one of our grants, whether it's the what if or the general inquiry form about something else, we want to invite you to a conversation to learn more about your idea and what your plan is. And that conversation helps us understand better your project and idea. So filling out the grant, you don't have to have all your answers yet, like I had said. The very unique thing about the what if grant though is that those grants are actually reviewed by a resident team. So it's not Encourage saying, I approve your grant. It is a team, and it's usually about three or four community members on that team at a time reviewing your grant and looking, does it build relationships? Are you involving the people who would be directly affected by whatever your idea is?
I got an idea for a cleanup or a restoration of, a piece of land into a neighborhood park or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you involving the people in the neighborhood who would benefit from that part?
Absolutely. So we invite you to that conversation with that resident team who makes the decisions, and they help you think about some of those other pieces. So a decision may not be made right away, but it gives you opportunity to go back and go, yeah, you know, I should be talking to the people who live in that neighborhood to make sure that this is something, in fact,
that they
would like to do too.
Right.
And the more people you get involved, because that really ties to the purpose of the What If Grant, which is building relationship and strengthening your community.
Okay.
So the unique thing, like I said, it's not encourage staff saying, I approve this grant or I deny this grant. It's the community members that take the time and volunteer to be on that committee to say, hey, Darla and Bob, this sounds like a great idea. We're going to go ahead and help you out and give you some money so that you guys can get what you need to make that happen.
And what about and with this idea, Darla, in terms of building up community? I would imagine you got a lot of support from the veterans groups.
Yes, we have. And I forget his name. But he worked with the Veterans Cafe.
Bill Heck.
We have him here. He's here at the first Monday of every month at 12:40.
And the American Heroes Cafe was started up by Bill Heck, but it was funded by a What If Grant.
Yeah.
And he helped us too. So
and look at how that has grown in the community of veteran, and it's not just veterans, but like first responder. I mean, anybody that's police or firefighting is welcome too. That's why it's called the American Heroes Cafe.
Yes.
And the idea was a place where those folks that can get together and share their experiences with someone who understands what they've been through.
Yes.
And making connections, building relationships, and, you know, providing support to one another. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Okay. So, you can apply for this at any time?
Yep, it's a one-page application. It's available on the Encourage website, so encouragecf.org, and it's out there. And there's good examples of What If Grants on our website. So if you want to see, what has been funded, what's interesting, you can go out and check it out on our website.
Let's talk about Central Wisconsin Days.
Absolutely. So, Encourage will be heading down to Madison on February 26th and 27th. So this event is an opportunity for us to connect with legislators, and as we have some new legislators in office now, we are going to be meeting down there those days to be talking about the importance of rural economic development. And specifically, of course, we'll be talking to the new legislators about the Tribune Building Project and how it will serve as a hub of economic development and community innovation right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
And yes, this is something where you get encouraged. You have the Chambers of Commerce from Central Wisconsin heading down there. And it's basically to tell the lawmakers, hey, this is what's going on in Central Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Don't ignore us.
Right.
You work for everybody, and we're part of the state of Wisconsin, too.
Exactly. And so it's a great opportunity for all of Central Wisconsin business and community leaders to go and talk about what's going on in their places and really advocate for rural development, which is wonderful. And it's a great opportunity. So we're excited to not only be attending but be sponsoring that event as well. And like I said, that's down in Madison.
Representative Krug on his monthly show has said a lot of the debate in Madison nowadays does not involve Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. It involves rural versus urban. And you need to have that rural voice to say, hold it, we got some good things happening here.
Absolutely.
You need to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good, friendly way to do that. So when are Central Wisconsin Days?
So they are February 26th and 27th. Like I had said, we have some encouraged staff going down, and we'll be talking about the Tribune Project specifically. Mm-hmm. But we're excited. You know, it's an exciting time to go and talk to new legislators who have not maybe heard about Tribune. We put in a request to be in the state budget again for the Tribune Building.
Okay, so you're going to be maybe meeting with members of the new governor's administration?
So there'll be new legislators there. We can't guarantee who will all be there, of course. But it's just a good opportunity for us to put Wisconsin Rapids on the radar again and make sure that, you know, we are telling our story and sharing what good things are happening here.
Okay, so put it on your calendar. And if you can afford to be a part of that effort, feel free. I know the chambers recruit business people and others to help volunteer to come on down and show support, the community support for what's happening in our area. The more the better, because numbers speak, you know, when you're dealing with politicians. But let's talk about a birthday party. Believe it or not, the Encourage Foundation is getting ready to celebrate its 25th anniversary. Holy buckets.
Absolutely. Isn't that crazy?
You don't
25
look
years.
You don't look a day over two.
Of course I don't.
I know. So talk about that. That's a great accomplishment. And I remember when the foundation was first set up.
I bet you do. I do not, but...
I do.
It's pretty exciting. So we are very happy to announce that, you know, this is Encourage's 25th year. So for those of you who may not know, back in 1994, Encourage was not called Encourage at that time.
No.
It was the Community Foundation of Greater Southwood County.
Right.
But we were started by Virginia Brazzo. And Virginia's vision for philanthropy was guided by this principle. She was... by the people, for the people, with the people. And so as we enter our 25th year as an organization here in Southwood County, we are very proud to make sure that each and every day that we operate here, that we are seeing Virginia's vision mm-hmm. for this place come true. So we look at, you know, her vision often, and as we make decisions or are working towards projects or things in the community, that we keep that always at the forefront.
Yeah, and that's a great name in the history of this area. And
absolutely.
And I can remember some of those early meetings covering those, like a hotel meet, and some of the people that were instrumental in getting it started. And even way back then, it was the idea that this isn't just for people with a lot of wealth.
Absolutely.
Everybody was invited and encouraged to get involved.
Exactly. And so whether you have $1 or $100,000, Encourage likes for everyone in the community to know that this is your place. This is our home. We all share this place together. And whatever we have that we can invest in our place, whether, like I said, it's $1, that investment, so when you put a dollar into Encourage, you're making an investment in your community. It's not just a gift that you're making to a nonprofit organization. It's an investment. And we're so proud to be seeing Virginia's vision come through.
And that goes along with the change to the name Encourage and the particular spelling of Encourage.
Yeah.
I-N-C-O-U-R-A-G-E, in, as in inclusive of everybody in the community. I remember this,
yep.
And it was unveiled, and the courage to move forward and change and do so together, and which is like what we do with What If Grants,
mm-hmm.
and scholarships.
Exactly.
See, I got it.
You definitely got it, Carl. You've had us for a while, and we love that about you. You know, and I'll just leave you with this today, that wrapping this up, in 1996, Encourage, or the Community Foundation of Southwood County, actually, at that time, awarded our first scholarship. So in 1996, so 2 years after we were open, we made that first scholarship. And that scholarship was given by a young woman named Elisa Derrickson. And Elisa was a local student who actually won a $10,000 award for her writing. And she took the opportunity from that award to invest in her community. And so she created a scholarship at Encourage that actually gives out a scholarship, $500 every year, to a student interested in going into writing or using writing in some way. So it's got a lot of, there's some parameters around it, but it's flexible. But it's so exciting as we celebrate our 25th year to remember, you know, folks like Alyssa who, you know, saw the opportunity to take what she had and make an investment in her place. And look now, you know, 23 years after her first scholarship, we'll be handing out another scholarship from her this May.
And again, any big celebrations planned?
You know, we're trying to figure out how do we want to celebrate our 25th year. So I'm sure we'll have some updates as the year progresses on how do we want to do that. But each and every day we celebrate, so we're thankful.
Okay. But the big thing right now is it's scholarship time.
Absolutely.
Get on online and fill out. That's the nice thing about the scholarship program at Encourage. You don't have to fill out multiple. You just fill out one application. And it goes into...
Yep, it'll help you figure out which scholarships you are eligible for, and then it, one application gets applied to those scholarships. And there's a little bit of writing that goes into it, but for individual scholarships per se. But it is a very easy process. And since we've gone to the online process, students have been, you know, very appreciative because it really fits better into how they operate, their lifestyle. And, you know... students are busy people, you know, and so for them to go home after work or, you know, a sporting event and be able to work on their scholarships online and save it and update it, it's wonderful.
Well, I want to thank you, Corey and Darla. It's nice meeting you.